This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've been seeing some storms around the area, but AccuWeather says it'll be breezy and warmer this afternoon. Clouds breaking for sun with a high near 80, currently 61 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with a check of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we've got a huge rally afoot. The Dow is up 449 points, or almost 2%. The NASDAQ gaining more than 2%, or 160 points. The S&P higher by 49. We are positive for the week and, of course, the month. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 2%. Fed Chair Jay Powell says the central bank is closely monitoring the impact of trade developments. And then yesterday late, a Fed bank president said an interest rate cut may be needed soon because of trade. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg see U.S. tariffs on Mexican goods denting economic growth, prompting both countries' central banks to cut interest rates. A slight majority of the analysts surveyed expect levies on imports from Mexico to reach a maximum of 5% to 10%. Fewer chips and chocolate and more health care services. That's what CVS is planning to do at 1,500 of its stores by the end of 2021. The drugstore chain plans to expand its health hub concept stores to try to reduce its reliance on retail. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
We're going to be talking about all of those topics on today's Noon Business Hours: interest rates, a possible rate cut, a very delicate operation, and of course, trade.
And Major League Baseball has a big attendance problem. We'll talk about the concern. Also, Travel Tuesday, how to save for that summer vacation in other ways than giving up that daily cup of coffee. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, many Major League Baseball teams are off to a bad start in terms of attendance. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. But right now, President Trump talks trade during an overseas trip while back here at home. The latest tally of factory orders is out, and also a gathering of people from the Fed here in Chicago today. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Carl. What are the markets applauding today?
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me back. The markets are applauding a couple of factors. So one is the no news is good news, right? So we're not seeing any escalation further along the path with China or Mexico. And I think there's some sense that maybe we won't get to a full-bore trade war, meaning 25% tariffs across the board on both Chinese and Mexican products. So things had to kind of run their course a little bit. Yesterday, of course, there was some negative news about tech breakups and whatnot that was specifically hurting the NASDAQ. Today, we have a little bit of a calm as people are reassessing what is actually likely to happen. Also, we saw some news on motor vehicle sales that, that tell us the consumer is not tapped out, and maybe there still is some life left in the economy as we head towards, at the start of July, what will be the longest economic expansion in the post-World War II era.
There is a question about interest rates and how the Fed might possibly use them, and there's really two sides to this. Tell us about it.
There's two sides to that story, absolutely, and I think that some folks are getting overly excited by comments from Jay Powell, the Fed chairman, at a conference in Chicago this week. The Fed is evaluating how they can better achieve their economic objectives. One is achieving full employment. The other one is keeping inflation at a low and stable level. For the Fed, that's 2%, and the Fed hasn't been hitting 2% inflation for most of this economic cycle. In fact, they've fallen short 95% of the time. So they're evaluating what they should do differently going forward and if they should maybe operate under a different framework. But this is really just the start of a theoretical discussion, not any dramatic shift towards new policy. in those opening remarks, Chair Powell did say, if the economy weakened due to the trade war, we could potentially cut rates as a result. The markets kind of went haywire with those headlines. And I think they're overly estimating the notion that Chairman Powell is drifting towards a policy ease. This was more of the boilerplate language the Fed always issues, which is if things overheat, we'll tighten, and if things weaken, we'll ease. They just kind of heard the latter half of that boilerplate language and went to town with it.
Okay, but let's say, hypothetically, let's say they do begin to ease, so money gets cheaper. Okay, Wall Street likes that. But wouldn't that also mean that there are some challenges in the economy that's making the Fed do this?
Absolutely. So the Fed wouldn't ease unless we saw economic conditions deteriorating considerably from where they are presently. And as they stand presently, we've got an unemployment rate at 3.6%. Job growth is strong in the economy. The economy is growing at about a 2% pace. So things look very healthy. We'd have to see the economy dipping down to, let's say, 1.5% growth or much weaker inflation data or signs of a rising unemployment rate for the Fed to feel that they actually have to step in and cut rates. And as you mentioned, Wall Street would like those rate cuts. And in Jay Powell's remarks today, he cited that as one reason to move very slowly and drag their feet towards rate cuts, because it could create financial stability risks. In other words, inflating asset bubbles, whether it's housing, stocks, or some other asset class. The Fed is very much aware that their actions could have those types of consequences, which would ultimately make the next downturn all the more severe.
So let's talk about some of the results. This trade war has been going on for quite a while now between the U.S. and China. It seems like it's not that products, that fewer products are going to move, but maybe they're just going to move differently. Are we starting to see that maybe there are some other countries that are winning here, even as the U.S. and China battle it out?
Absolutely. We are seeing some other countries that are seeing a benefit from the movement of supply chains out of China. So a lot of nearby regional competitors are picking up the slack, whether it's Vietnam, Cambodia, South Korea, providing some of the product that could have come from China. Also, even in things like yesterday's National Manufacturing Survey, we saw anecdotal evidence of suppliers or producers moving their supply chains out of China and into Mexico. This, of course, was tabulated and recorded before the latest round of Mexican tariffs were announced. And so those producers may feel like they've been slapped in the face twice as a result of this, and it just highlights how this round of Mexican tariffs may actually be counterproductive to the underlying health of the U.S. economy.
Thanks for joining us today, Carl. Carl Riccadonna is Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg in New York. And coming up, baseball in an attendance slump.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Cubs and Sox are doing okay, but it's been a rough start at the gate for many Major League Baseball teams. Let's talk about why fans are shunning MLB with Mike Ozanian, executive editor of Forbes Media, co-host of Forbes Sports Money on FS1's Yes Network, based in New York. Mike, it does seem MLB has an attendance problem. Kind of give us a thumbnail, nuts and bolts of what's going on here with attendance.
It's a small decrease, Cisco. It's only down 1.5% so far this year. But the reason why it's a problem is because this would be the fourth consecutive year attendance would be down for baseball.
They keep blaming the length of the games. I get a little riled up about this because I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I don't care about the length of the games. Is it that? Is it other things, the cost of going to a game or anything like that?
I'm with you. I'm a lifelong baseball fan, and the length, whether it's 3 hours or 3.5 hours, doesn't matter to me. I think simply because there are more teams that are uncompetitive right from the get-go than we've had in the past. So if you go back to 2007, for example, which was the peak of attendance for baseball, that year there were only three teams in all of baseball that had winning records below 400. Right now, we're already at six teams below 400, and there could easily be more as the season progresses. So you have teams that have no chance of making the playoffs. I think that's a big reason, and I think a secondary reason would be more people now stream sports and stream other forms of entertainment content. And I think with those options, I think people a lot of times will make game day decisions on whether to go. Almost all of the decline in attendance is due from season tickets. Game day decisions, game day purchases, thanks to things like StubHub, are actually up over 5% this year.
Mike, is this a cop-out, or does the weather have anything to do with it? It's been in Chicago, it's been stormy and cold and lots of water.
I think last year was a big problem, but if you look at teams like the Cubs, the Red Sox, the big brands, they really aren't the problem. It tends to be teams like the Orioles, who for years at Camden Yards, you know, was a great place to go. It was one of the most beautiful, best ballparks in the country. And the Orioles now are a laughingstock in Major League Baseball. Nobody goes. My beloved Yankees were playing down there about a week ago, and you could count the fans, you know, on TV looking at them. The Tampa Bay Rays and Miami Marlins combined on a Wednesday last week had less than 14,000 fans. I think that's the real problem.
You mentioned earlier the sort of game day decisions of different apps like StubHub. Is that also maybe a cost issue? Because a ticket might be $90, $120 bucks, but you can get it on StubHub for half that or less.
Right. I think that's sort of the game day decision. So, you know, for instance, in the case of weather, as Chris was alluding to, you know, why buy the season tickets where I know there may be a handful of games where if the weather's really bad, because baseball has that huge inventory that the other sports don't have, right? 81 home games. So people may say, you know, I know that I can get it on StubHub. Even if I have to pay a little more as opposed to less, I don't have the inconvenience of knowing of I'm going to go on a day where the weather's bad. I can pick that beautiful afternoon game to go to. So I think that's one of the problems as well. But I really believe the bigger problem, Cisco, is the fact that there are many teams that just are not competitive. And now it's common in Major League Baseball where you look at what the Seattle Mariners are doing right now. You know, they're gutting their team. They got rid of Cano before the season. They got rid of Jay Bruce the other day, and now they're talking about getting rid of Encarnacion because they know they're out of it. Fans aren't going to go when they see that.
Yeah, they certainly want a winner. Sox are playing better this year, and they're seeing higher attendance. Mike Ozanian, thanks for being with us. Mike is executive editor of Forbes Media, co-host of Forbes Sports Money on FS1's Yes Network. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, ways to save for a family vacation, and the markets are surging. Bloomberg brings us up to date next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Business news sponsored by PatrickCars.com. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, it is a full-blown rally for stocks. The Dow is soaring 437 points, or 1.75%. The Nasdaq gains even bigger, up more than 2%, or 157 points. The S&P higher by 48. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also higher by almost 2%. And crude oil futures have turned upward after recent losses. They're headed at $53.55, up about 0.5%. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been up 12 early to down 2 at the moment. December corn down 0.5 at 441.25. Beans have been up 15 to unchanged. We have November beans up 1.25 at 907.5. And wheat's been up 9 to down 19. We're presently down 16 for July at 503.75. Mixed prices on the grains at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are rallying today. We'll see what's elevating the markets.
It's Travel Tuesday. Tips on keeping your family summer vacation affordable.
America's biggest tech companies find themselves in the congressional spotlight.
Longtime Chicago Alderman Ed Burke pleads not guilty to federal corruption charges.
President Trump says he expects to begin hitting Mexico with tariffs next week as part of the dispute over illegal immigration.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are up about 411 points, the S&P 500 up 48, and the NASDAQ up 161.
Starting to get a little bit of sunshine now that most of the rain is gone, and throughout the afternoon it'll be a mix of sun and clouds. Heading up to a high near 80 degrees, expected to start getting warmer now that most of the rain is gone. Right now, 59 O'Hare, 61 Midway, 66 degrees along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
The markets are flying high today. We're joined by Steve Esposito, Executive Director at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Steve. What's going on with the markets?
Good afternoon. It's a great day for the broad market. We have some indications that corporate profits are good. The Federal Reserve itself may be very accommodating, according to what Chairman Powell just said earlier today. And we got a nice rally. But I like about it, Chris, is it's a broad-based rally. It's not all focused on a handful of names that are skewing the indexes. It's just a nice, comfortable rally in the market. I hope it's sustainable.
What is it that the chairman did say?
Well, she talked about basically making sure the recovery stays on track, and they're playing. Basically, they're saying they're playing it by ear, which they should be saying. They're keeping everything by ear. They're going to watch it, the inflation numbers, et cetera, and seeing how the global. They don't really know what the global tariffs are going to do if they in fact occur and last. And nobody knows. There's a lot of speculation out there, but generally, they want to make sure the economy stays on recovery, which I think it's the right thing to say.
What are the possibilities of a tweaking that they might use?
There's talk, just a few months ago, they're talking about raising five times. Now the talk is they're going to cut one or two times. It changes on a regular basis by all the Wall Street experts. Nobody really knows. If the economy continues to strengthen and we don't see inflation, they don't have to really do much. If the economy weakens, which a lot of forecasts are out there, which I don't personally agree with, then they'll have to do what they've got to do. But I think this obsession with what they're going to do is crazy. There's just this obsession with every bullet point, every economic piece of data that comes out is constantly moving the market in one direction or another. You got to sit back and look from 10,000 feet and take an honest view that way.
Let's talk about a strategy in a market like this. Is more people seem to be more defensive these days. Growth versus value stocks. Give us maybe a little primer for people who aren't familiar. Maybe they're just starting investing. And then some advice given what we're seeing these days.
Well, growth has been just leading this market and really skewing the overall market performance in many ways. But, growth versus value, I just read a piece recently where they said the spread between value, which is lower multiple stocks, cheaper companies, versus the expensive one, which would be more the growth side, is at the widest range in 70 years. I would say it's probably right, first or second. I think 1999 was equally as bad, if not worse, with the dot-com bubble. But generally speaking, you can see a lot of major corporations throughout the world that are trading in single-digit multiples, some mid to low single-digit multiples with 2 to 6% dividends. And you've got other companies trading out there who are nameless that have no revenue, have revenue but have no profits, putting up millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of losses, valued at market values that are substantially greater than companies that are 10 times their size. So there's a huge disconnect between value and growth. And today, value seems to be winning out. If this continues, it could be very good, I think, for the broad market on the average investor going forward. I'm hoping that's where we're at right now.
So in general, if you're deciding, hey, maybe I need to be a little defensive, you're looking for a decent dividend, that cash payout, but you also want to be wary of a dividend that's maybe too high and that they're not going to be able to sustain.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to do your homework. Your financial advisor or yourself, whoever you're working with, needs to do that. Go through it. There's so many companies paying such nice dividends out there, and I can't name any, unfortunately. But if you look, there's plenty of them out there to find out with crazy low multiples and one of the best economies we've seen in three or four decades. So there's this situation that is confusing a lot of investors as to why these companies are trading so cheaply as opposed to other companies trading so expensively. And what I've always seen in my nearly 40 years in this business is water seeks its level. At some point, there'll be a reversion to the mean, and there's some real good opportunities for the long-term investor.
What kind of opportunities? Do you want to name a couple?
I wish I could, Chris. I can't, unfortunately, but I can tell you, just look in the healthcare sector. I'll give you ideas. Look in the financial sector. Look in the energy sector. There's a whole bunch of companies out there you can just take a general look at and see what fits you. But everywhere, they're just all kinds of companies where you can get really good returns, better than a 10 or 20 or 30-year treasury bond, I should say, in a dividend yield. At the same time, by companies that are trading it, I've seen companies who are trading lower than they were during the credit crisis. And we're obviously not in a credit crisis. We have the best economy in three or four decades. International is not doing so well, and understandably so. But, you know, as Mark Twain, if the stock market could talk in the United States or the economy, they would quote Mark Twain, "The report of my death is greatly exaggerated." And the U.S. economy is doing fantastic. And all these gloom and doom experts out there, I just don't personally agree with the gloom and doom. I think the economy will continue to chug along.
Thanks so much, Steve Esposito. Good insight. Steve is executive director at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Up next, Travel Tuesday, working ahead to keep the cost of a summer vacation down.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. This afternoon, we're discussing summer vacations for the family and strategies to save ahead of time to keep costs down as well. We welcome back to the show Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of the leading independent family travel website, TravelingMom.com, based here in Chicago. Cindy, we hear all the time, if you want to save for a vacation or anything, the first thing you need to do is cut out that latte. Is that the answer? Is that what you're going to tell us, or is there maybe more to this?
Well, we have a story on the site, 15 easy ways to save for a family vacation, and they're all about ideas beyond giving up Starbucks, right? Those of us who don't even drink coffee can't even give it up. So so one of the one of my favorite ideas is don't buy something if you can borrow it. And, you know, you can go to the neighbors and borrow things, but you can also go to the library, right? Instead of buying books, you can borrow books. But, you know, a lot of people don't know this. At the Chicago Public Library, you can borrow museum passes. So if you want to take the kids to the Museum of Science and Industry or, you know, the Field Museum, you can go to the library and you can take out museum passes, and four of you can go for free to the museum, which I think is awesome. And my other really favorite thing is you can get loaner tools. I had no idea about this. Advance Auto Parts will loan you tools to work on your car if you do that sort of thing. You basically buy the tools. You pay full price for them. You can keep them for 45 days. If you bring them back, you get a full refund. So you got the tools for free. I think that's really cool.
But then you have to be intentional about taking the money you would have spent on tools or anything else to and putting it away, right? Because a lot of times that's just seen as money saved, and then we spend it on something else.
Well, exactly. And that's really the key. So this is all about delayed gratification, right? You want to take whatever money you save and you put it into a dedicated fund that is your vacation fund. You know, and I even think, you know, I'm all about involving the kids in vacation planning so they have some ownership about what you do and where you go. You can also involve them in vacation savings. If they're a little older and they have access or ways to get their own money, you can create I love this idea. You just create a jar, you paste pictures of the place you really want to go, Disneyland or the beach or whatever it is. And then everybody agrees that they're going to put whatever they're going to put into it. Maybe a dollar out of their allowance for the week, or, you know, the spare change that they get or whatever. Or they, you know, they do a lemonade stand. It's the summertime and they contribute some money to it. And then they get some ownership of the vacation. They helped pay for it.
All right.
It's really kind of cool.
And you also sit down and talk about how you can keep your grocery budget from soaring.
Yeah, you know, there are ways to do that, too. I mean, to actually be purposeful about what you're buying and to take a list to the grocery, which I'm really bad at. I end up walking up and down the aisles and going, oh, that looks good. Never go to the grocery when you're hungry. You know that, right? But you can also, there are these apps you can download, like Dosh and Ebates, and they'll tell you, they'll create this instant rebate for you when you buy things, and then the money when you get a certain amount in the app, you can take that money out, and again you want to put it into your dedicated vacation fund, and that's money that you spent and you're just paying yourself back, kind of like a rewards credit card would.
So where are you going this summer, Cindy?
I am going to Quebec, actually. I just booked a trip to Quebec, so I'm very excited about that. It's one of my favorite cities, and you know, it should be nice and cool in July when it's hot here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Have
All
a great
right.
time.
Yeah, have a great time. Cindy Richards, thanks for being with us. Cindy is editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, Congress and governmental agencies investigate big tech.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Government agencies and a House committee are launching probes into top technology companies, including Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon. Let's get the latest from Dan Gallagher, tech reporter for The Wall Street Journal, is heard on the Street column in San Francisco. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Dan. What do they want to know?
Well, it's a strange mix of what we see as like this growing interest by regulators on these companies. The Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission seem to have kind of agreed to split, their duties a bit to look at the four biggest companies here, which are Apple, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. So, that news kind of dribbled out over the weekend and yesterday, and it really hit their stocks yesterday. In fact, it was bad timing for Apple because they were also holding their big conference out here in California that usually is a pretty positive thing for them.
What, who is hurt allegedly by these companies?
I think that's the big question that these agencies are going to have to define because, these companies are certainly powerful, in a way that even past tech giants haven't been before. But to get to where, they're going to have to look at new ways to look at what traditionally has been like an antitrust argument. Like even Apple doesn't dominate the phone space. They have less than 50% of the market, and you have to figure out, okay, how are they hurting consumers? Because a lot of these companies give away free services, like email and storage and all kinds of things to consumers. So I think that's a big unanswered question right now, is how these agencies are going to try to define that, and then if they can make that kind of definition stick.
And even if, a company like Apple, I know they face some lawsuits over the App Store from both customers and developers. It might be something like the government would try to break that off into a separate company, but it's just difficult because it's so intertwined in the Apple ecosystem.
These services are all very intertwined, and so it's hard to imagine how any kind of breakups would actually work in practice. I think those are kinds of things are I would consider them outside possibilities, like worst case scenarios. What's more likely, just given the history of how these things go, is the government proposing changes that might be a little painful for the companies, but not really disrupt them. I mean, if you recall with Microsoft, a little over a decade ago, they went through a lot of this as well. They didn't really have to break up the company or anything. And honestly, they've reemerged and they're actually one of the largest companies still now.
Good insight, Dan Gallagher. Thanks for being with us. Dan is tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column. Markets rising significantly. Bloomberg brings us up to date next. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we haven't had these sizable gains all year on a single day. The Dow up 452 points, or almost 2%. NASDAQ advancing 164. That is a gain of 2.25%. The S&P higher by 49. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining 2%. All of this comes on talk that the central banks here in the U.S. as well as in other countries may be forced to actually cut interest rates. And so that's very welcome news for the market. We've got gains across the board. The rain, though, across the Midwest has kept farmers from planting corn. The same for soybeans. Corn planting was 67% complete as of Sunday, according to the Ag Department, which compares to 96% complete at the same time last year. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.